Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Good evening. Good evening.
Oh, aren't you proper? And we're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Hey, howdy, hey. Give me one of them little Fendamons you got over there.
There is two left. If you guys were here with me, you could have one with me.
If we were there, there wouldn't be two left. I guarantee you that.
I guaranteed I wouldn't have had three left. You'd have probably took all three of them from me. No, well, as John is saying, let's get to that real quick. So I broke down, and I'm a man of my word. I said I would try it again, and I've said, me and we've talked about this many times, Dan. Sometimes you need to try things more than once. Am I right?
No, absolutely.
So I went out. I went to five different liquor stores to find Le Fin de Mont, and finally I found it. And I have to admit, I chilled it, got it ready, let it sit in the fridge, got it to nice temperature. I cracked one open at dinner time, and I have to admit, I enjoyed it. My wife even liked it. My wife liked it better than my Coors Light, I'll tell you that much. But she has that wine palate. The first thing she goes, I can taste the spice in it. I said, you sound like John. But anyway, I did enjoy it. And I have to tell you, John, like the keg did have the opening taste of it, but it did not have the finish. So whatever finished in that keg should have stayed in that keg forever. Because I wish to goodness that you could have tried that with me that day.
No, thanks. It doesn't sound all that enjoyable. So I'm going to assume you got a bad one, and what you're tasting out of the bottle there is a lot closer to the ones that I enjoy in Canada at Epcot. So.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Like it's not my favorite beer. I'm not saying I'm going to buy it every week or monthly or whatever like that, but it is a good beer. I do enjoy it. It's not something that you want to drink all the time anyway, because it'll offend your mind if you drink too much.
Yeah, it will. And it's not something that you get home from a summer afternoon of busting your butt out in the heat and want to, you know, slug one down either. I mean, it's definitely more of a refined beer that you're going to have. And while we're doing the podcast, that's a great example. Or with dinner, nice steak dinner or seafood dinner, it goes fantastic. But, yeah, it's 9.5%. You definitely don't want to drink more than one. So.
No, I had one the other day. I'm having one, and I drank one of them and then two Peronis, and I was a happy kid.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
I wasn't, like, because I don't like to be drunk. I don't like that feeling. But after I was done the second Peroni after that, I was just comfortable. It was a nice, relaxing night. I have to admit, I slept very well, but I wasn't off. But I do enjoy it. I was proud of our buddy Pat. I love Pat's video. Wasn't that – I mean, look at Mr. Showtime over there.
Yes, that was good. So what we're getting to here, this equates to Doug to Fonzie. We all remember Fonzie when he had to say the W word.
He wouldn't say it was – yeah, he would go – he
would never say it.
I was mistaken. I wasn't wrong.
Yeah. No. Misinformed. I was misinformed.
Yeah, but it was – I enjoyed it. I can't wait for you to finally try it then to get in the – you know, so you understand what we're all talking about. It does have a bite to the front of it. It has taste. It has a different taste totally. And like I told you, I like Samuel Adams, John. So that's why the other thing, when you were asking me if I liked that and I told you, yeah, it kind of threw you for a loop. And I will drink a Guinness once in a while. I mean, they're not my – I'm not saying they're my favorites, but I don't mind them. But what I had in that keg – now, I'm thinking maybe – do you think it could have been because it was like 8:30 at night, quarter or 9 at night that I had that? Maybe it was at the end of the barrel?
It could have just been the bottom of the keg or something of that sort. I mean, it's hard to say. But, if it was the bottom of the keg and nobody else had complained about it, then it was just definitely some dregs or something on the bottom, maybe, you know, something like that. Because I would think if it was that bad that there should have been several people that had a problem with it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, you never know. I mean, it could have just been a bad tap line or something like that. So,
yeah. And I think also that area too, because I know the few times is, me and Dennis went back there, and Dennis bought me a moose head delay. Remember you bought me that moose head last trip then?
Yep.
And there was no – every time I go there to get beers at that cart, it's never busy. So I don't know if maybe there wasn't enough people there to complain that night. It's like never packed back there for me. I don't know about you, John. Is it ever really packed for you?
I usually have 3 to 4 people in front of me that know what they want, and then a group of two or three different groups that get up there and go, no, never mind, and then walk away. So, yeah, that's generally what I run into. Usually I never wait more than 5 or 10 minutes. But, yeah, there's usually at least 1 or 2 people in front of me getting
the same thing. Yeah, and the good thing about that particular one, I believe, is they usually have 4 cast members. They have a couple taking the orders, and then they have a couple actually pouring the beers out at the other side, right? So if they got a good system going, even if there is a line, it tends to go pretty quickly.
Yeah, that one moves a lot better than the one in the UK, the outside one in the UK where you get the Innocent Gun. That they usually only have 1 or 2 cast members working there, and that line tends to get really backed up.
Yes. So. I agree with that too, John.
No, but that night it wasn't really that busy over there, so I don't know. I don't know what went on. I just know whatever I had that night was not good, and I pray to God I never have to drink anything like that again. But what I did have this weekend, I enjoyed it, and it's kind of like you said, John. It's a special occasion kind of beer. It's not something that I would buy 6-packs, and drink a couple a night or something like that, because I don't think it's designed for that. Brenda said she would probably enjoy one of them if we got – because we like to go out and get king crab legs all the time. She said a nice night during the summer with crabs and shrimp and having a barbecue, just the two of us sitting out on the deck and doing that, she would enjoy that. And I think I would enjoy that too. So Le Fin de Mont's okay, John. I was 100% wrong, so I apologize.
Write it down. Keep it recorded. Yeah.
So we move on, and we'll see what the next issue is down the road.
I got to find something else that I really like that he hates that we can say.
It's on the good list now, so we don't have to shy away from that. Yeah. But like you said, and I still will try it so I can weigh in, but I'm glad that you were willing to try it a second time. I mean, you could have, given how bad the experience was, it took a lot to do that. But I'm glad that you did too, because now you won't take a beating anymore.
Yeah, well, and it was about like when so many people tell you that it's good, and you're like, what did I do? what am I coming from? I mean, what is wrong with me? I mean, it starts making you think like, what? I know there's a lot wrong with me. Let's start from there. But the point was like, how could I be so far the other way?
Right.
So sometimes you got to swallow your pride and go see why, if you're really right. And I wasn't right on this one at all. It was, and again, it's not my go-to, but I really enjoyed it. I'll finish this 4-pack. I bought the 4. I'll even tell you guys why, because they had both. They had the 4-pack and they had the liter. And I decided to buy the 4-pack because I was so convinced that I wasn't going to like it. No, and I'm being honest. So I said, if I buy the 4-pack, I can give the other 3 away. This way, I'm not wasting a whole liter. I don't want to waste good beer. I want to have John saying, "You poured that whole liter down the drain." So, I said,
"God,
I'll pick."
Sound like that? I'm gonna sound like a troll.
Yeah. Well, when you're yelling at me about Le Fin, you do sound like that. I'm just being honest. Anyway, I said, "I'll spend a couple extra dollars and buy the 4-pack." And now I got Two more to go. So a couple more to go.
Let me ask you, what was the four pack? How much was the four pack there? See if there's any price discrepancy between Jersey and Florida.
It was $10.99 for the four pack.
No, actually, you're a dollar cheaper than it was here. So yeah, it was $11.99 for a four pack here. So yeah. So about the same prices, I guess, running. So.
Yeah, and it was I'm happy I did it. I mean, I was even felt special with all the fancy foil on the wrapping and all that. My wife read the story about the island and all that stuff. I mean, we got into it, man.
Yeah, now that you kind of, especially if that's like a beer that you could buy one of those liter bottles and you and your wife could actually share it. You know what I mean? So now that you know that you kind of like that one, if you get a chance or you go back and you want to try another one, grab one of the other Unibrow ones and give those a shot too, because it's the other ones are, they have different taste to them, and so it's definitely more that you could, you know, nice relaxing evening, like you said, sitting around with your wife, you could open one of those liter bottles and enjoy it together.
Thank you. If I drink a couple of them more, Dan, I might be qualified to be on the Weekly Pint as a guest one week.
Hey, maybe we'll have you on.
Yeah,
I could see me on there now. Well, the Coors Light has a smooth going down taste, but it doesn't compare to the Bud Light. Now, the Bud Light has this little finish to it that I just can't explain. Now, if I get the Bud Light with the lime in it, oh, my goodness. No, but anyway, I was wrong, guys. So you guys can all still pick on me, but not as bad. At least I gave it a shot again.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, I'm actually quite proud of you. Good job.
Thank you. And now we just got to get Den to finish out the foursome so we all can have it. And then hopefully Unibrow will contact us shortly.
Yeah. Yeah, they've probably been mentioned like 10,000 times in the, since, you know, we went down for our trip. It's been a couple of months now?
Yeah, no kidding.
Talk about free advertising. I mean, yep. I know for a fact there's been a couple cases bought of that just from this show.
Yep, all combined, absolutely.
Well, I imagine Pat Jannetty tried it just because of us yapping about it, and Bob probably looked for it there in that bar in Nashville just because we were talking about it. So,
absolutely. So, I mean, we've been spreading the word, guys. So, I mean, and again, I just tried it because I couldn't believe I was that wrong. So, a Le Fin de Mont to you, John.
Well, thank you very much. Cheers.
All right. So, what we're going to do tonight on this episode after we got done with beer talk, well, we're in a pub, guys, so we got to talk some beer. But anyway, what we're going to do is, and guys, don't email me, tweet me, yell, scream, blah, blah, blah. We all do what every other show does. I listened to shows this past couple weeks of things that we have done, and I'm not trying to steal anything. So if anybody think we're stealing it, I'm apologizing now before we even start because I don't get to listen to every show. But what we're going to do this week is we're going to do a menu throwdown kind of deal. What I'm going to do is I picked two restaurants. I'm going to read the both menus, and what I'm going to start with the appetizers, and you're going to tell me which of the two restaurants you'd rather eat at, which one you like their appetizers better, and what appetizer you think you would go for at that restaurant that you like. And then what we'll do is after the appetizers, I'll mark down who won the appetizer. I'll take your vote, and then we'll go to the entrees, and if each restaurant won once, we'll do the dessert as the tiebreaker. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
And then at the end, I'll let you know what restaurant it is. And I'll try not to be stupid like if I was at a boathouse, because it's not going to be the boathouse tonight. If I named the boathouse's lobster, I think I'd be right. A little stupid.
Yeah, or you said in the appetizers, cheddar cheese soup. That might give it away, too.
Well, I've okay.
Filet mignon with wild mushroom risotto.
Okay, I better switch menus now.
Yeah. Well, we just threw him a curveball.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got bangers and mash going on over here.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, guys, you ready to get this started?
Let's roll.
Sure. Okie doke. The first one's going to be, let's start off with the appetizers. Lobster popcorn Thai curry soup. Basil emulsion popped sorfin. I don't know what the heck that is, but that's what it is. Marinated grilled octopus. It's salsify, saffron, aioli, lemon capers, and olive oil. I'm not giving the prices because I think it'll give some of the restaurants away.
Okay.
Black-eyed pea fritters. which is has a yogurt, a puff, and a pepperfew puree, flash fried icy blue mussels. It has a za'atar butter, a confit tomato, and a pickled cucumber. Apple walnut salad with a bib lettuce, heirloom apples, candied walnuts, apple cider vinaigrette. Chef's, charcuterie board.
Charcuterie board.
House cured and smoked meats. And then a sustainable fish kusa, a Bavarian purple potato, aji amarole vinaigrette, lime mayonnaise, cilantro, quail egg. Now, out of these appetizers, is there anything that pops to you guys?
Go ahead, John.
grilled octopus. I'm a big fan of the grilled marinated octopus. I got one restaurant I deliver to, and that's their specialty. And maybe they slip me a little bit of lunch of that every once in a while. So.
Now, Dennis.
The fritter thing there. What was it? The yogurt fritter. That sounded good to me.
Okay. What was that? The black eyed pea fritters.
Yes.
It's a zoo yogurt and a pepperdew puree.
Right.
And I'm actually looking at it. It actually, they look pretty good. I mean, from reading it, it looks nothing like, I mean, they look like hush puppies.
Well, that sounds, I'm glad I picked it then.
Yeah, they look like hush puppies in this sauce. It really looks good.
Okay. Doug, I deliver pepperdews. Do you know what they are?
No, you can tell me. What are pepperdews?
They're South African, or they started in South Africa. They're a half tomato, like a hybrid of a sweet tomato and a sweet pepper. And they are absolutely delicious. I actually had an extra jar on my truck one day, and I ate the entire thing. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, they are so good. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so let's head over to the other team's appetizers.
Okay.
Yellowfin tuna, compressed watermelon, citrus, espalette, black cypress sea salt, and avocado. A tour of the coast, Atlantic skate wing, local clams, mile zero shrimp, ice blue mussels, selectric puree, that's a tour of the coast, corn encrusted wild golf shrimp, spiced hearts of palm, orange supremes, and pinquet aioli. Here we go. A Kuro Buddha pork belly, shank croquette, royal gala apple slaw, Bing cherries, and sheared quail eggs. And then they have a blue crab bisque, scallops, melted leeks, aged sherry, and a tarragon cream. And then they have a mescalum salad, which actually looks really good. It's very artsy looking. It's a petite lettuce, market vegetables, fine herbs, a barrel aged feta, and torn focaccia. And then the mission figs and ham is a Rogue River Blues hazelnut and a Vero Beach arugula. So does anything jump out at these appetizers for you guys?
The shrimp for me. I would order the shrimp.
The corn encrusted wild golf shrimp?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, they look phenomenal.
I was hoping you'd say that.
John, what about you?
I think you had a crab chowder or something on there, or a crab soup or bisque or something.
Yeah, the blue crab bisque. Scallops, melted leeks. It really looks good, and it shows the chef topping off with a little, it looks like truffle oil or something on top. Really looks good.
That sounds fantastic.
So which of the two, one or two, are you guys going for with the appetizers?
For me, I would take restaurant B, the second one.
Okay, I said one or two, and he tells me B. So see how I got to work with Dennis?
But you know what I mean.
I do.
That's the funny thing.
Johnny.
I'm going to go with the first option. So
restaurant one?
Yeah, restaurant one.
Oh, because you want the octopus.
Yeah. That sounded particularly good. So
we got a 1-1 tie. So let's go back to restaurant one, or A, as Dennis wants to call it now. They got a tremola rubbed chicken, couscous, dried fruits, pincholi olives, preserved lemon, harissa yogurt, duo of lamb, Ethiopian coffee butter infused lamb loin, beer wowzers. These words, man. Sorry, guys, I'm butchering them. It's a boerewors, a soubise, a chaka laka, and that's how it's spelled. C-H-A-K-A-L-A-K-A. Chakalaka, right?
Sounds like chakalaka to me.
Yeah. Terramine, barbecue leek, ash. A Berkshire pork tenderloin, pork and masa tamale, hominy succotash and red mole sauce. Hoisin glazed halibut, forbidden rice, Swiss chard, and turmeric sauce. A pan-seared duck breast, leg confit, hen of the woods, parsnip puree, truffle reduction, huckleberry compote, grilled head of prawns, sounds like another restaurant, grilled head of prawns, tomatoes, roasted fennel, olives, and sea urchin in a butter sauce, roasted vegetable curry, millet, market spring vegetables, a lime chutney, a Wagyu strip loin, and braised short rib. I'll tell you what, guys, this looks really good. Okay, and that has a rainbow carrot, roasted Peruvian potatoes, and a chimichurri. Whole fried sustainable fish. That speaks for itself. It has black bean sauce and some Som-Tom peanuts. So anything sound great to you guys on that list?
For me, I would get the braised short rib.
Okay, well, you're going to also get a Wagyu strip loin.
With it?
Yeah, they both come with it. It's a Wagyu strip loin and a braised short rib.
All right, I'm in.
And I'll tell you what, the other thing that looks really good on this menu is the hoisin glazed halibut with the forbidden rice. What about you, Johnny?
I think I'm going to go with that pork loin, the Caravoto pork loin. That sounded really good. So.
The Berkshire pork tenderloin?
Oh, yeah, Berkshire. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
That one.
Pork and mesa tamale. Harmony succotash and red mole sauce. So let's go to restaurant one, two, or B, whatever you guys want to call it. Okay, there's a Maine lobster Nero pasta, gold tomato sauce, young artichokes, and fennel pollen. A Pennsylvania Hills veal tenderloin, shaved Brussels, braised cheek, porcini black garlic sauce. It's a planch seared hakado scallop and antebellum grits, English peas, and a peppadew emulsion. I'll tell you what, these scallops look out of this freaking world. Okay, Ocean Bounty sustainable fish, harvest vegetable melange, savory potatoes, and a puree blanc. Ora King New Zealand salmon, a pancetta laced ivory lentils. Wilted vernal kale, a Meyer lemon, and garden vinaigrette. I'll tell you what, this salmon looks like it looks like he just caught it. That's how fresh that meat looks. Free range chicken, zucchini, eggplant puree, heirloom tomatoes, and a Genovese basil pesto. A Wagyu filet mignon. Let me see the picture of the. Oh, good thing I ate good tonight. That looks really good. The Wagyu filet mignon. It's Okinawan potatoes, a forage mushroom, rainbow carrots, and a Bolognese sauce. Bison strip loin, ancient grains, salsify, cipolli onions, haricot verts, sun-dried tomatoes, churron sauce. And then the last one is a wood-fired prawn, Chilean sea bass, and a Key West shrimp. Bombo arrows, a Peruvian sweet peppers, and a house-made chorizo. So out of these two restaurants, out of these entrees, which one are you guys going for?
I am going for the scallops.
I don't blame you. John?
When we had the, I think we talked about this, Doug, when we had the Bonefish Grill, my favorite dish there is the Chilean sea bass. So I'd definitely have to try the Chilean sea bass there. It sounds fantastic. So
I'll tell you what, it looks fantastic too. So which restaurant you guys going with? One or A or B or two?
I'm going to go with the B, the second one.
And John?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with him on this one. It sounds like there's a very nice selection of seafood and steak both on the second menu. So, yeah, I definitely would pick this one.
Okay, for giggles, number two is in the lead. Two is in the lead right now, 3-1.
Okay.
Let's go and read the appetizers. I mean, the desserts. What?
Three. There's only three of us. How can it be 3-1?
Because you voted twice. You both voted for this one, and you split the first one. So that's four total votes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah,
okay. Well, I explained it to you, buddy.
Yeah. I thought you were going for overall. You're just going about the individual dishes, so I get it.
No, yeah, I'm going. I did appetizers. I gave a point. You each picked a different restaurant, so it each got 1 point. On the second, for the entrees, you both picked restaurant two.
Yep.
So it's ahead. Now let's do the desserts and see who comes out as the winner.
Okay.
Okay, desserts. Dun, 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 dun. A calamazzini mousse, mango lava with a Swiss meringue. I'll tell you what, this looks very good. It looks like a work of art. A lime cheesecake, passion fruit, tapioca cream. It's a chocolate crumble, citrus fruit, and gluten. It's gluten friendly, so Carmen could have it. And the lime cheesecake has almond sesame and green tea sponge with it. So that sounds different. And then there's a sorbet tasting, a Carafe lime syrup, passion fruit, and a crunchy vanilla crouton. And then there's South American chocolate ganache with a caramelized banana and a cocoa nib toulis on it. And I got a picture here, guys. This looks like it should be an Epcot's The Art Festival, the way it's done. Okay, and now restaurant B or two. Where's our desserts at here? I'm at the beers, John.
Hey, all right.
Okay, Under the Sea dessert. Mangiaria chocolate coral sponge, pistachio sand, dehydrated milk, foam tasting, and three sea salts. You'd have to see this to understand it.
Right.
But it's a lot of dessert. It's all kind of chocolate. Blueberries, limes, and seashells. Macaroni cream. Blueberry lime compote. Hibiscus meringue. And rye bourbon caramel. I think John's in with the rye bourbon caramel.
That sounds interesting, doesn't it?
It looks interesting, too. A panna carpa. A buttermilk panna cotta. Rhubarb. Strawberry lime. Basil sugar. And it's gluten-free. Florida Reef, a lemon tart, toasted meringue, Florida citrus salad, ruby red grapefruit sorbet, and then there's a chocolate banana Napoleon, banana raspberry mousse, slow-cooked vanilla rum caramel sauce. So we got alcohol in a lot of these. The chocolate banana Napoleon looks very, very good, guys. And the way it's done up, it kind of looks like a graduation cap. So A or B for these guys.
All right, we're just going to go overall menu. We're not going to pick one on the desserts, correct?
Well, no. Which one of the desserts would you – on each side, which dessert do you think you would go for, A or B?
Okay. Yeah, for me, the restaurant one, I would go with the lime cheesecake.
Okay, so
– And then – oh, you want John to give his one?
Yeah, overall, you would go with the lime cheesecake. That would be the dessert you would go for out of the two restaurants.
No, that would be the one I would pick if I would chose restaurant
one. Oh, okay. And what would you choose for two?
The chocolate banana.
Napoleon?
Whatever it was. Yeah, that last one you read.
And John, which one's for you?
On the first one, definitely the Southwestern chocolate dealio thing.
Oh, okay. The South American chocolate ganache.
South American chocolate ganache. Yeah, I'd take that. I would have gone with the lime cheesecake, but then with the green tea sponge, you kind of lost me there.
Okay.
And then on the second one, the bourbon vanilla. Which one was that?
I'm having fun listening to you talk.
Trying to remember which ones you were talking about. So.
Yeah.
Vanilla, caramel, bourbon thing.
Yeah, okay. So. That one, that's the Florida Reef.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The blueberries, lime, and seashells is what it is. It's finished off with a rye, bourbon, caramel. So out of the two restaurants, which dessert sounds better to you guys? One or two?
For me, it was number two.
Okay. And John?
For me, it'd probably be number one.
Okay. So by a score of 4-2, restaurant number two won. Now, do you guys have any idea what restaurants these are?
If I had to guess, my guesses would be for restaurant one, Flying Fish. Restaurant two, I would say restaurant in Vero Beach.
Oh, no, it's not. Everything is from Disney World, so.
Okay, well, then I'd be wrong.
Okay,
Doug,
John.
Or Dennis, that's exactly what I was going to guess, too, because that sure sounded like a menu from Florida's coast, didn't it?
Yeah,
with all the Florida references and stuff. So.
And he even said Vero in one of the descriptions. Uh-huh, I caught that, too, so I figured he might have been pulling a fast one, but that's okay.
No, I would never pull a fast one. You guys know that. I would skew yous, but I would never cheat yous. John, which two restaurants? Pick two restaurants.
I would, if I had to guess, then I would say number one maybe the Wave, and number two maybe Old Key West.
Okay, no, you're wrong, Dennis. You were right. Restaurant two's the Flying Fish.
Okay.
Restaurant one is Tiffin's. I tried to get two restaurants in the same category.
Okay.
Like, not category as far as they serve the same food, but in the same kind of class, if you follow me. Like, deluxe dining.
Signature dining, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you guys both picked the Flying Fish as the app that sound the best to you. And they both got good ratings on this website I'm on. I mean, Flying Fish has 9.5 out of 10, and Tiffin's has a 10 out of 10 so far.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's a little too early to come to any conclusions on Tiffin's, but I mean, I guess that says the few people that have eaten there so far really like it.
It has 5 reviews so far. Positive aspects, the food atmosphere, and then cons, nothing. Positive aspect, excellent food and service, cons, none. Number 3 is excellent food, beautiful atmosphere, and quiet. And then cons was pricey. Positive, our waitress, April, great food. There's nothing negative. And then the other positive is sensational food and relaxed environment with none. So there was no cons to this restaurant out of the 5 reviews. And then on the Flying Fish, 9.5 out of 5, there's only 2 reviews since the new one. It says excellent food, but the cons is extremely expensive. I think Bob wrote this one. everybody's doing it. And then the second one is beautiful decor, very upscale, and quieter than the dining room used to be. And then the cons, the 2 people both said it's pricey. So.
Yeah, I kind of get a kick out of that. And it is pricey. I'm not disagreeing with any of the reviewers there, but I mean – you kind of know going in it's going to be expensive. It's kind of to complain about the cost after you've, you know, had the chance to. I know, Doug, you say you always go over the menus before you go and look at it. You know exactly what the steak costs before you even walk in the place. So to complain after the meal about the price of the meal, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you a night in the life of Doug and Brenda in Old Riverside. After we get done seeing Yeehaw Bob, we go back to the hotel. We might have a drink in the room or relax, get ready for bed. And Doug pops open the laptop and breaks out the menus and starts figuring out where he wants to eat the next day. So, and we start reading this stuff and getting ourselves hungry. Or when we come home, now I tell everybody, like, we like to go back to the room for an hour or two break in the afternoon.
Yep.
When we go back to the room for a break and we decide where we're headed back to that night, I break open the menus and I start reading over them. And I'll be honest with you, yeah, it's pricey, but it isn't – I mean, it's Disney. It isn't over the top if you compare what – I mean, these foods are all signature dishes for the most part, and this is me coming – you know, usually I'm the ranter and the raver, but – yeah, it's $43 for the scallops, but it looks like a work of art. It looks phenomenal, and – it'll be the one time on your entire trip. You can't do these restaurants every night, but it's no more pricey than what California Grill is, Dan.
No, not at all. And again, that'd be like me writing a review for the grill, even if I love the food and everything, and say, yeah, but it's pricey. I mean, you know, well, come on, Dennis. You knew going in it was going to be expensive.
Yeah, I mean, the Wago filet mignon is $55 here. So, I mean, yeah, that is pricey, but the salmon's $39. The scallops are $43. I mean, I know, John, you were upset with the flying fish, I mean, at the boathouse, but if the food would have been phenomenal, would it have bothered you at all?
No. I mean, I knew the prices going in. I mean, the only thing that I didn't get the value, I didn't feel I got the value out of the prices. I mean, when we ate at Le Cellier last time, there was a very expensive meal, but I didn't complain about it being pricey because I felt I got the value and I got the, you know, it was worth the money I spent. That's the only thing I would complain about the boathouses is I don't feel that I got what I paid for it. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the One King New Zealand salmon looks absolutely with the panicata laced ivory lentils and the wilted the kale, and it looks phenomenal. And it's $39. I mean, so if two of you go out, when me and Brenda go out, you expect to spend $100. You follow me, then tip or whatever, $125. I don't think that's crazy if the meal is up to the standards we were talking about. It's just like John said, if you're being rushed or kicked out the door and stuff like that, at the end of the year, you're not happy. But if you're spending this is your one signature dining for the week. And I don't think the prices are out of this world here, like too expensive myself.
Well, and all of those top-tier restaurants are pretty much in line with the price, except for Victoria and Albert's, which we know is, real expensive. And that's a chef's table, private dining experience. But, whether it's Gico, The Grill, or Tiffin's, or any of those restaurants, you're pretty much going to pay, I would bet, within, $5 of each other for the best steak on the menu or, the finest seafood. You know, it's pretty much in that range. And I agree with you, Doug, the way we tour, too. You know, in a week's time, we would only do one of those for the whole week, and it would be a special dinner for that particular vacation. So, we don't complain about the prices. Sure, I wish they were lower and to spend less money, but we know we're going to drop X amount of money depending on how many people are in our dining party, and hopefully, and knock on wood, the food was good for us where we ate last trip at the Cali Grill. So, I don't mind paying it. If we had a bad experience or a bad meal or, things weren't cooked properly, then, I'd be all over it and I'd be very disappointed and I'd be writing a poor review. But, you're right. I mean, comparatively to what you would get back home if you went to the best restaurant in your town or, in your case, if you travel to Atlantic City or whatever, I mean, I think it's in line and it's not, it's not unreasonable.
These are Gordon Ramsay prices.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the other thing is like the corn encrusted wild golf shrimp that I said I really like. It looked awesome here at the Flying Fish. They really do look like a work of art, even though they are fried. I don't like them breaded, but I would try them. But they're only $14. I mean, I'm saying it's only $14. You get four of them, but they're little works of art. I mean, I just paid at Gordon Ramsay's $12 for some chicken wings. Marimoto's is $12. I mean, that's what you pay.
Yep.
And I don't think it's out of the price. The blue crab bisque, John, that you liked was $14.
Yeah, you know the charcuterie board at the outdoor kitchen at the art festival was $14. So you know what I mean. So you're not out of the realm there. So it's not bad. So
no, I mean I think both of these restaurants. Like let's head back over to Tiffin's a little bit and we'll highlight some of the things on here. The lobster popcorn Thai curry. It looks very interesting. The Thai curry soup. I bet you it has a little bit of bite to it. The black-eyed pea fritters, Den, I think me and you need to pop in and just grab them for takeout on the next trip just to try them at the very least. They kind of are interesting me, kind of like the hummus fries did at Food and Wine. I want to try these now.
You get two? Is that it? Or
no, you get three. All three of us could go. Sorry, John, you're not here tonight. I mean, Bob, sorry, you're not here tonight. No, sorry, Bob, I'm only kidding. But you get three of them.
That would be nice to grab them and maybe even sit out at the bar there at the Nomad Lounge if they let you do that. Mm-hmm. If you can order off of that menu, which I'm assuming you can, that would be perfect.
Yeah, the chef's cuttery board here is $16. Here it's called the charcuterie board. The charcuterie board. It's $16, which is $2 more than the one you had, John.
Yeah, $2 more than standing outside in the
and eating off the top of a trash can, which is the only place in the world you will. So I mean, and then some of the high rates, the highlights of this is the one that I really want to try is this hoisin glazed halibut. It looks with forbidden rice. It kind of reminds me of that movie with the forbidden dance. This has the forbidden rice, but it really looks good with the Swiss chard. I mean, it looks very, very interesting. That's $39. Or I'm lying. It's $42. The Berkshire pork tenderloin that you were looking at, John, is $39. Uh-huh. The pan-seared duck breast is $39. Grilled head of prawns is $37. The roasted vegetable curry is $29. The Wagyu sirloin and braised short ribs, then, it's $53. Yep. But it looks like two major
–
yeah, you are. You're highfalutin. But it is a very good-looking piece of meat, and you know that's. I mean, the Yachtsman's the same price.
Right, right.
I mean, you're not getting anything any cheaper at the Yachtsman. I know you've been there, right, John?
No, never been over to the Yachtsman. Actually, I have a reservation there for June. I don't know if we're gonna make it, but I've got a reservation right now. So,
but you know, I mean, it's the same prices, and I mean, I prefer Le Cellier, but it's like they're like neck and neck. It's just I just like the atmosphere better over Le Cellier because it's more like home to me. That's the only reason. Like for now on, been there, done that. If I'm gonna have a piece of steak, if that's all I want, that's where I'm gonna head Le Cellier just because of the atmosphere. But I mean, then there's the Tremola rub chicken. That's only $34. The duo of lamb is $41. So, I mean, there's some decent – I mean, this is by no means cheap, but I don't think it's over the top at Tiffin's.
No, like I said, it's a signature restaurant, and, you know, you should expect those prices. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding, or in this case, the proof is in the food. I mean, I think, generally speaking, if you're happy with your meal, you're a lot less likely to, you know, complain about the prices, coming out, I should say. I mean, if something isn't right, though, well, exactly like you mentioned with John's experience at the Boathouse.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have something that's off or you weren't happy with the service or something like that, you know, those prices seem outlandish at that point because, you know, not only did you pay, you know, a lot more than you would have to get something, you know, very good at one of the other restaurants, you got something that was horrible, and you pay twice as much as you would have, so it's a double hit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, here at the it's like, but just like he yelled about the drinks over at Rose and Crown, now that I tried the Le Fin de Monaghan, I think he needs to go back and get the bangers and mash, don't you?
That's what all this was about.
No, I just no, it just came to me. But you know what I'm saying? I gave in. I know you ain't going to go back. You'll go back to the Boathouse again. I know that probably hurt like you just said, Dan. It would. When you're expecting the best, one of the best meals you ever had, and it kind of disappoints you.
Right.
But I think John will try the appetizers again, but he won't go sit down at the dining room anytime soon.
No.
No, I could probably go to the Boathouse and spend about $50 eating oysters. I can see that happening because, you know, like I did say, the oysters were fantastic. So
yeah, well,
I could get in trouble at the Raw Bar there. But
yeah, the thing you get in trouble for is you, John, I mean, we all tell you to go get the shrimp, and he don't even get them. like I'm over here at the Yachtsman. There's a 5-ounce Japanese Wagyu beef. What do you think that is?
Five.
Is that a tenderloin or? Yeah.
5-ounce Japanese Wagyu beef.
I'm gonna
say. Tenderloin.
Yeah.
It's go ahead, John. It's a Miyazaki Perfection Marble score of A5 is what it says. Don't both guess at the same time.
I'm gonna say 52.
Yeah, I defer to John. I'm gonna say it's $58.
$125 for this 5-ounce piece of Japanese Wagyu beef, man.
Wow.
Oh, man. That thing better talk to you while you're eating. And then after you eat it, it better rub your belly from the inside and tell you how and thank you for eating it. But no, they got a 14 ounce roast prime rib. It's $45. Their 16 ounce ribeye is $54. Grilled rack of lamb is $48. So I mean, they're in the same. You know, the 6 ounce Angus filet mignon is $47. So I mean, that's what you're going to pay for a good steak on property. So I don't think it's out of the realm of. I don't think Tiffin's is too high. Where everybody was, it's one thing they were getting on them for.
And am I correct in remembering that the Yachtsman is also a la carte? So what you're paying when you get the $54 steak is just a steak, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. You so pay if you want extra the cream spinach or the potato or anything like that, you're paying extra. Yeah. So
extra for starch and extra for vegetable if you want it.
See, so that's why the other reason, do you guys really think at Dennis? Do you think the steak at the Yachtsman was better than the steak at the Le Cellier?
No, I don't think it was better. No.
So at least at Le Cellier, with the prices they have, it's not a la carte.
Right.
You actually get a meal.
You're getting the risotto, or you're getting a baked potato, or you know, you're getting the sides, and you get the pretzel bread. And I mean, I'm sure you get bread at Yachtsman. I don't remember, but I'm sure you do. So, Le Cellier is a better value just for that alone, the fact that you don't have to get it a la carte.
I think right now what I'm going to do is I am going to put my foot down. Know how you say you're not doing buffets anymore?
Right.
I am not going to eat at any a la carte restaurants anymore because I can't stand them. I think it's horrible. I think it's just tell me what it should be. Just give me a price for a meal. Who the heck eats just a steak?
Right.
I mean, it's bull. Yeah. It manipulates you to think it, because most people, when they see those menus, I'm sorry to cut you off, Dan, but most people see that they aren't thinking it's a la carte until they sit down.
Right. Oh, I remember the first time I ever experienced that. I it wasn't even at Disney World, or back home somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you guys, I mean, we don't go out to eat a lot, hardly at all. Like, you know, except for chain restaurants or something like that around the house. But the first time we went to a function or something, and I had no idea. It was like you said, we saw the menu, whatever it was, and we ordered it, and you know. When the waitress or waiter started to explain that, you know, oh, would you like a vegetable with that and this and that? And then when the bill came, you know, I forget what the upcharge was, but it was like, you know, $5.99 plus $5.99, you know, plus the base price for the dinner. It was like, well, you should have just told me it was a $40 entree, you know, because that's what it ended up being.
Yeah.
When you add it all together.
You're 100% right. And I look at it as it's a bait and switch is the way I look at it. It honestly is, because I consider myself halfway smart when it comes to eating, like going out. I enjoy food. I'm into the whole dining deal. And there's been many a times where we've gone into a restaurant not paying attention and just seeing what we want, and then you get down there, and it's the same thing, and it's so confusing. And I don't want to turn eating dinner into the Jabruta film, trying to figure out what's going on here. You understand? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting down to have a good time, and now I got to sit there, and you're going to tell me, well, this is a la carte, that's a la carte. It's kind of like I don't want to be here now. Do you disagree, John?
No, I don't think we eat at many a la carte restaurants at all. So that, I think if we did eat at Yachtsman, that would be the first time. So, yeah, having, you know, thinking about it, I think we will definitely try to change the reservation back to Le Cellier, because, I mean, if I want a good steak, I don't want to have to worry about what potato I don't want to pay $10 for a baked potato to go with my steak. I really don't.
But
I mean,
it's just like you're going out to eat to be waited on, and it just seems like work. I mean, it's like I make decisions all day at work. I want to just look at the menu and order an entree with the stuff with it.
Right.
And if I want to change it out, it's up to me. But I've been bamboozled by that so many times. So my new resolution is if I go into a place and it's a la carte, I'm leaving.
Good.
But I know I'm rattling on and on, but don't you agree with me? Doesn't it make it like it's a job if you got to sit there and figure everything out?
Yeah, and it just makes you feel like you said it correctly, a bait and switch. It's like they got you in the door on the false premises, and they're like, all right, we got them to bite for the $35, flank steak or whatever. Now we're going to, we're going to get them closer to that $50 by charging them for string beans, It's like, come on.
Yeah, just tell me the meal's $50 and be done with it. It's kind of like, you go into a dealership and, you got to add the motor to the car. The car's right. $10,000, but when you got to add all this stuff to it.
Yeah, it doesn't come with tires. They're more extra. Mm-hmm.
You know, Doug, what it's kind of like is the way that I've always appreciated Disney prices when it comes to hotels. Okay, you look up Pop Century, it's going to be $110 a night. It's $110 a night. There's not going to be a parking fee and a resort fee so far. I mean, $110 is $110. But if you go to the Holiday Inn or the Omni Express on Hotel Row over there.
Hotel Plaza Boulevard.
You're going to pay $54. But there's going to be a $15, $20 parking fee. There's going to be a $15, $20 hotel resort fee. There's going to be this charge and that charge. And all of a sudden, they're going to nickel and dime you to death. So I just want to know what the price is up front and done and paid for. You know what I mean? So.
Well, the Swan and Dolphin do that. And I've stayed there quite a few times because I've got such great deals on it. And I do love those resorts. I kind of like the fact that they're back behind Crescent Lake. Like, it's the same reason why I like Riverside. Because it's subdued. It's kind of on the path, but it's off the path, if that makes sense to you guys. But they do the same thing. They nail you with the parking, and they nail you with the newspaper. And I'm like, really? I got to pay for this? USA Today? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to read it because you're giving it to me, but I don't want it. Like, I marched it the first time we stayed there. I marched it down to the front desk when I said, I'm paying for this? Because I found out, I was talking to one of the guys. He goes, that's going to be in your bill. I said, no, I don't know that's going to be in my bill. And Brenda was getting ready, so I had some time to argue, and I'm always in the mood for an argument. So I went down there to fight about my paper fee. I said, nobody told me about this. I get here and there's a paper on my front door. I pick it up. I'm thinking I'm special. And really, no, I'm not. You're specially charging me. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? And it just – things like that bother me. It's the same thing like I've said, like John just said, with the thing he loves about staying on property is no hidden costs. And that's the point I was getting at when they put that survey out asking – remember they were talking about charging you for that stuff? Yeah, no, dude. Yeah. Just add it to the price. Don't nickel and dime me. Just give me a flat out price. I don't want to be playing let's make a deal when I go out to dinner or stay at a hotel. Just give me the flat rate and be done with it.
When I'm looking at the price, just make it $125 instead of $110. But that $125, I'm done. I don't want anything else added on when I get to the resort or right there at the checkout. I mean, I like it. Just a price.
Exactly. I could see me doing that on my job sites. A la carte bathroom.
You mean you wanted a lavatory with that? We're gonna have to talk. That's extra.
Oh, absolutely. The toilet paper holder now. I mean, that's another $75.99. I mean, it's just like when I give a deal price, that's what my customers want, the price. Now, if they want to add something to it, like if I say I want fried onions on my cheesesteak extra, I understand it's extra because I'm adding to the entree, but I just don't like the bait and switch, and I am never going to go to an a la carte restaurant again. I just don't like it. It just bothers me. 100% bothers me.
I can't think of another one other than Yachtsman on property. Can you?
And Boathouse isn't like that at all. So that isn't like it.
Not that I recall. I mean, I could be wrong. But
I had asparagus with the crab stuffed lobster, and Lisa had some potatoes that came with the filet. So
no,
they threw a couple of asparagus on your plate at least.
Something. Yeah. I mean, and there's probably another one or two down there that we're forgetting right now. But it's like the same thing around here. There's a steakhouse, a chop house down the shore, and they're the same way. You go in, you ask for your cut. Then it's $17 for the baked potato, or whatever it is. It's just, it isn't,
what about
but it
SDK?
Is. SDK might be a la carte. I'm not sure. I haven't eaten there yet. And John, and I don't think so. I mean, Bob had the mahi-mahi. I don't think that was a la carte.
He didn't mention it in the review, so I'm going to assume it isn't. But
and Bob's like me. He would have complained if it was. Bob ain't holding back either. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I hate to filibuster and babble on about that, but that's one of those things that annoy me. And that's the thing that annoys me too. Like, if you eat here at Christmas, it's $7 more. Why? Why? I mean, what did it cost you any more to eat there at Christmas? You're not paying your employees double time. I would like to see their paychecks to see if they're getting double time at Christmas.
And what it is you're there, it's Christmas, and they can take advantage of you, and they do.
And it ain't even Christmas Day. It's the Christmas season is what it ends up being.
Just so you know, we deliver some of the food out to the Italian Pavilion at the time, and we don't charge them any extra money, you know, the day before Christmas or anything. No. So, you know.
I mean you don't get a little something extra? Yeah, nothing a little extra in your paycheck that week?
No. Food costs the same, so.
No, and that's the things like with these parties that just give me, like we always say, Dan, we go back and forth and we've said this, and John has been part of the show with me babbling about it. I'm sure I've made his ears bleed over it. With the parties, one day it's $179, the next day it's $229. It's all the same party, same food, same. Just cut it down the middle and be done with it. Quit making it, and it's more for my customers. When I'm booking these trips and you're trying to explain this stuff to people, well, if you go this week, it's this price. If you go that week, it's this. And they'll be like, well, what's the difference? I'm like, exactly. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, I'm being a wise butt. No, there's no difference. You don't get anything more. It's just because it's a peak part of the season, and they're gouging you. They're price gouging you.
Yeah, you just used the word, and I was going to say, and John will recognize this, it's just like with DVC. I mean, they have different times of the year. Peak season is one of them, where they charge more points for a room if it's, you know, the holiday season or it's the busy summer season or whatever. And, you know, same thing there. The room isn't any different. They don't put different furniture in it or a softer bed. Mm-mm. When you're paying more, it should just be one price year round. But because, you know, it's more crowded, or you know they can take advantage of people. If you want to go at that time, you're going to pay a little extra. It's just, you know, it's the way they choose to do it. I'm not saying it's right, but
it's yeah, and you're right. It's like a slap in the face, though, Dan. Now, as a consumer, you guys both own Vacation Club, right? Wouldn't you rather them adjust it a little up and a little down and make it the same price throughout the year, so whenever you decide to go, you know exactly what your points are going to cost you?
It would be a lot easier to plan. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do, a calculation and break out the calculator in order to figure out a vacation, because the points are all different. But you're right. In a perfect world, they should just balance it all out so that they're the same, and they could do that, but they choose not to.
And it would make them look like the better person, in my opinion, because if they averaged it out, how could they lose? The rooms are going to be booked throughout the year. I think, to be honest with you, I think more people would be down there because they don't sell out every resort. I think a lot of people stay home at Christmas time because they don't want to spend the extra points.
Oh, there's a lot of people that refuse to pay, you know, go at peak times for that very reason. They'd rather go at, you know, the off times and get more vacations. And I guess that's the choice. You know, that's the other side of the coin that, you know, it keeps some people from going, so in effect, it, you know, it fills the rooms in the non-peak time.
But it's first come, first serve. They only have so many. See, you'll book your vacation earlier. The rooms are going to be filled up, but this way, okay, so if it's 15 points at this time of the year and 22 points at this time of the year, how about you just make it 17 all freaking year, and it makes life easier on everybody, and you feel like Disney's being stand-up instead of just gouging your eyeballs out for the holiday.
Yeah, that's way to look at it.
It isn't. I mean, they're richer than me, and they always will be. So, but my point is, in some ways, just little things like that can make you feel better about them. Is all I'm saying.
Yep.
So call me crazy, call me whining. That's what I do. It's just Doug's way. But I don't know. So Disney DVC has me mad for changing prices, and I don't like a la carte restaurants. That's what we got out of this episode. And I do like Le Fin du Mont now.
Yes,
that's the Cliff Notes version of the episode right there.
Yep. Exactly.
You didn't have to listen to the whole thing. Just go to this point. You'll have it in a nutshell.
Yeah, fast forward. I complained at the end. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I mean, it was something different we did. And again, and everybody, if we copied something, I apologize. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, me and Dennis a few times have gotten the Twitter direct messages about us. Like, I listen to a lot of shows, but I don't listen to every show, every episode. It's hard when you're producing these shows and we're talking Disney all the time. Am I right, Dan? We don't listen like we used to, but we still do. Like, I listen to probably about 70% of the shows that I used to listen to. Like, I've cut back a little bit, but I do look at to see what the topics are, and I do like it. But if I miss something and somebody else has actually done this, I apologize with all my heart. Please don't tweet the heck out of me and tell me I'm stealing some. Right. So, I don't know.
All good. All good.
But anyway, guys, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Tell us that we stole something if you want to. You can head over to John at the Weekly Pint, and you can also find him at Beer Solo. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow me at Grumpy6767. You can head over to our website at It's All in WDW. Bob posted a lot of good menus and a lot of good flash photos from the art festival, which were very good. And then he also had all of our polls on the restaurants for 50s Primetime being the big time winner. So you can follow Bob at It's All in WDW. You can follow us all at WDW Main Street. And everybody have a safe and happy week. And we will talk to you soon.
Good night.
Night, folks.